The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
We shall pay any price, bear any burden, meet any hardship, support any friend, oppose any foe to assure the survival and the success of liberty.
American prosperity is the bedrock of freedom and security all over the world.
An obligation to the heritage of liberty and dignity handed down to us by our forefathers.
It's time for the Pro-America Report with Ed Martin on The Answer San Diego.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Pro-America Report. This is Ryan Height, your guest host for the week. Ha ha! That's right. You might think that this is April Fool's Day and therefore I am pulling one over on you, but I'm not. You're stuck with me all week. No, I'm kidding. I know, I mean, you are stuck with me all week, but it's not a bad thing. That's what I'm joking about. This is a good thing. You and I, dear listeners of the Pro-America Report, you and I are going to get a chance to bond. We're going to know each other really well by the end of the week, because you're going to have day after day after day of me, because our illustrious leader, El Jefe, whatever name we'd like to give him, Ed Martin, is out on assignment this week. There's some super cool stuff coming down the pike, but in the meantime, he's got a little bit of a break and a little bit of some extra work coming up, so he asked me to fill in. I said yes, I would love to. I already am in great enjoyment every single time that I'm able to come and fill in for him, so I will be here with you all week. Before we get there, though, before we get to the day today, what you need to know, let me remind you, go to proamericareport.com and also phyllisschlafly.com. That's right, proamericareport.com. The first punch, you're going to get awesome Ed Martin's Substack, what he's talking about. Go and subscribe there. You won't be sorry. And then part two, the second punch, that little jab and hook, jab, whatever it is. I don't know my boxing terminology, so I'm not going to try. I'm just going to retract that. We're going to backpedal real quick, and I'm going to go at it again. For that good 1-2 punch, there's the extent of my boxing knowledge. For that good 1-2 punch, the second one, go to phyllisschlafly.com. There you will find all of the archives for this program, all of the Pro America Report podcasts, the standalone segments with our guests, any kind of links and resources. If they have given us something, if we've shared it on social media, if we've put it in the show notes, that's where you're going to go and find it, phyllisschlafly.com. And, of course, sign up for the Wink email. It comes into your inbox every single morning. Ed is still doing that this week, so you don't want to miss it. Go and sign up if you haven't already for that What You Need to Know email every single weekday morning. But let's dive right into it today. You would think on this April Fool's Day, oh, maybe we could stop some of the infighting inside the Republican Party, the grand old party, the GOP. But no, for April Fool's Day, and this is quite possibly an April Fool's joke, but I don't think so. We've dug pretty deep on this one. I've got to bring you something. There is a new, I think, fight. Let me make this prediction. A new fight coming against the Freedom Caucus and against the right wing of the right wing, the real conservative faction. I guess what the establishment folks are calling the ultra conservative. Sounds like some sort of conspiracy secret organization, the ultra conservative. What the party people are calling the ultra-conservative faction of the House Republican Conference. And who do they mean? Matt Gaetz, Bob Good, people that you and I know and respect and appreciate for at least the last 2 years being the independent, principled voice of the Republican House majority. Now, it has been a slim majority, but that has brought on some incredible things. The Speaker fight 2.0. We've seen some crazy stuff happen. And you know what? I think that we have been, not the first or the only ones for sure, but we have been one of the prominent voices here that have stuck with the same opinion of what has happened this whole time. I agree with it. Ed agrees with it. I think that you agree with us that these raucous moments, of the Republican House Conference, particularly. We'll zone in on that right now. The Republican House Conference, I think this is a microcosm of what's happening across the Republican Party, across the conservative spectrum. And I think that these things, like the speaker fight and a lot of others, you know, you could make a case, and I might not argue with all of your points, for dragging the dirty laundry out in front of everyone, for everyone to see, making these high drama votes last forever and ever, how it breaks unity, how it's preventing things from going up. But you know what? At the end of the day, if our party is capitulating to the one mind, the groupthink, the uniparty mindset, what good even is it? If we are not, as a party, as Republicans, espousing conservative views, espousing views that protect the Constitution, that uphold liberty, that embrace the fundamental understanding of property rights and all of the things that make America what it is. If we're not doing that first and foremost, then what's even the point? Playing ball? Just playing the game? Doing what everyone else does? No, that's not why we send representatives to govern, to be a part of a game. We send and select people from our own ranks, citizens, doctors, businessmen, regular everyday people, husbands, wives, mothers, fathers, people who are plugged into their communities. The whole point is for us to send them to the legislatures, for them to be citizen representatives for a time, not a career, for their own district. That's kind of the whole point. That's what it's supposed to be. So why would we want them to go and just play along with some long-ranging game where we get along with everyone and we make deals? No, I'm sending you there to stand up for the right thing, to stand up for what you and I think is right, representative of mine, who represents my voice there in Washington. I'm not sending people there to be just one of the hive think. I'm of the hive mind. I'm sending them there to be independent, if that's what it requires, because they work for me, not the system. So I want them to play, hey, I'm here for the truth, not play the game. So this came out here today. This is an article that kind of dove us off into this. There's a group of House Republicans that are trying to primary Republican Representative Bob Good. Now, Bob Good has made a little bit of a name for himself inside conservative circles, at least. We've heard of him. He's a Virginia congressman, good guy, and has most recently been serving as the chair of the House Freedom Caucus just since this past January. So four months in today, right? January, February, I'm sorry, three months in today. Man, you see how fast 2024 is going. I think you're with me there. You understand that. But 3 months in, he's the new chair of the House Freedom Caucus. And this has been a very interesting. They are at this point attempting to primary him. Several members of the Republican House Conference are supposedly, I don't know how much of this is necessarily hearsay at this point, but there are people talking about it. I don't know if they've recruited successfully someone who's going to oust him. But down in his district in Virginia, there are a group of House Republicans trying to raise, and I think they have found someone, a former Navy SEAL, to run against him here in this June primary. And one of the members of this coalition that's coming out to try to remove Bob Good, our good, for lack of, sorry, not a pun, just a good description, Bob Good, our chairman of the House Freedom Caucus, one of the group of people inside the Republican Party conference trying to remove him, has actually gone pretty public. Wisconsin Republican Derek Van Orden, we haven't heard a whole lot about him. You may have heard his name if you do a lot of stuff in the news, but he told CNN very recently, and this is interesting. I think this is where we need to go, and this is the what you we're entering the what you need to know. I apologize, I buried the lead on that. We're minutes into the segment, and I'm going to tell you about it just now. But his comment to CNN was, Bob Good didn't come here to govern. He came here to be famous. Bob Good is wearing our jersey, but he's not on the team. Really? Really now? I think that you and I would say that of almost every single Republican that has gone there and sold out to the system. They didn't go there to govern. They didn't go there to represent their district. They went there to be somebody. So they may be wearing a Republican Party jersey, but those people aren't representing the Republican Party or their district. They're representing their own interests. I'm pretty sure. You want to talk about doublethink and some Orwellian stuff here. Everything that this guy says, I 100% believe about the establishment wing of the Republican Party. And I think that you agree with me, too. So there's the what you need to know. The what you need to know is the battle to make the Republican Party conservative is far from over. We are in the midst of it. We are fighting it now. And this election, 2024, I know that the presidential race and Donald Trump are just sucking the oxygen out of the room. But, well, and you know what? Here, I guess I should say it this way. This battle's far from over. But here's the real what you need to know. I'm sorry. I'm going to change my mind on this one, actually, because one of the points I wanted to make, I think, is the most important point. We have got to pay attention to down ballot races in 2024. That's what you need to know, because you already know that the battle is far from over. This is not revelatory to you. It's not new information to me. The battle is far from over, but we have got to pay attention because stuff like this is going on in the background. These establishment hacks. Yeah, I'm going to go that far. I'm going to say it. These establishment hacks, party minded people, folks who are there to play the game. They are now working in a very organized fashion to oust people who have stood up on principle and actually thrown a monkey wrench successfully into the system. Bob Good, Matt Gaetz, so many folks, the Freedom 20, a lot of these things come to mind. We have got to stand up for these people because the party network, the Washington Uniparty, the establishment class is coming for them. They are gunning for them. So as much as the presidential race is sucking the oxygen out of the fundraising arena of 2024 and the news cycle and our attentions, we must focus down ballot. There are good men and women who need to stay in office, who we cannot let be primaried by the establishment. We have got to stand up for them. Keep your eyes down the ballot. That's what you need to know today. We're going to go on into a couple of great guests, and I'll be back here as well to wrap up the show. Don't miss out. Go to phyllisschlafly.com, proamericareport.com, and we will see you back here right after the break on the Pro America Report.
Welcome back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Our next guest is Daniel Greenfield, and he is, of course, over at the David Horowitz Freedom Center, and a prolific writer. I was looking up his writings, and of course, you can go to frontpagemag.com. That's where a lot of them initiate and start out, but also all over the world, Daniel is published. So welcome back, Daniel. How are you?
Good, good. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. First, we haven't had you on in a while. It's been a few months at least. And I wanted to ask you about how quickly world politics have shifted. And it's almost impossible for me to keep it straight. After October 7th, I think the world was united, accurately, in my opinion, in saying, you know, Israel's got to do what they have to do. It's their national security. But you watch this kind of ebb and flow back and forth. And I watch it thinking it's not based on anything substantive. It feels like it's based on almost the world business model is create people mad at each other and stoke them up. Give me your perspective on where we are.
Well, you know, I compared October 7th to 9/11, and it's playing out much the same way. The terrorists are playing the victim. Initially, everybody knows what's right and wrong. And then you get enough of terrorists playing the victim, and suddenly there's ambiguity. People are questioning, well, maybe they're going too far. Maybe it's just we need to actually get everybody to stop shooting at each other when there's no actual way to get the terrorists to stop shooting at you, short of defeating them. And this is something that terrorists, Islamic terrorists, have been very good at. They've had a lot of practice doing this in so many different countries. It's not just America or Israel. It's all across Europe. It's Australia. It's Canada. Anytime a terrorist attack happens, there's an immediate response. And right away, we start talking about Islamophobia, and we start talking about how, you know, the people who support the terrorists are being discriminated against and how the terrorists have families and on and on and on. And suddenly people are no longer sure what's right and wrong. And this is really what the left does to us on a regular basis. You know, people come in with common sense. They come in understanding what is right and wrong. And then the left twists things around. They reverse, they inverse. And then suddenly people are no longer sure what's right and wrong anymore.
Daniel Greenfield is our guest again. Frontpagemag.com is where you can see many of his writings. And I agree with that. And actually, it's very helpful to hear you tie it so succinctly to 9/11. However, I also think there's something about the modern moment that in America, forget the world for a second, just America, that makes it particularly makes people particularly susceptible to this playbook. And you know, we were talking off the air about David Horowitz. He's written literally dozens of books and a number of them on the tactics of the left. And so I know it's a set of tactics. Feels like the tools for these tactics are more effective at making regular people. And I think you had some writings on this about polling. I mean, regular folks sort of fall for it faster and deeper than maybe even after 9/11.
Yeah, well, the country itself, the culture itself has gone further to the left. It's lost sight of, you know, basic facts. So it's gotten worse. It's only going to get worse until we actually turn the ship around, because when people actually don't even know what a woman is, when they can't agree, you know, on basic truths, basic facts, when the left can make even the worst kinds of people seem like victims, anything is possible. We just had an article in The Atlantic about this Muslim student at Stanford who goes around with a banner saying, "Ask me about jihad," who says that Hamas should take over America, who called repeatedly for assassinating Biden. And the response to the article from a editor at Bloomberg was, you know, why are we shaming this 23-year-old who didn't ask to be in the news? You know, they can justify anything at this point, and it's only going to get worse from here. You know, as bad as we think the various, you know, things like what is a woman is, they're going to push harder and farther and faster until people don't know what up and down is anymore.
Daniel Greenfield is our guest, and he's at frontpagemag.com. His writing's there and all over the place. What about the political reality in Israel? I know it shouldn't matter in a way. It should be war footing, but it does matter. And it does matter that the President of the United States has sent increasingly confusing signals. What is the path forward? Because had America, for example, after 9/11, had America had signals from major allies that, you know, you have to stop this. And there were a few. You have to, you know, don't go so far. There were a few. But mostly we plowed on past it. What is the political reality in Israel?
Well, the public is united behind defeating Hamas for the most part. There's still a contingent on the left who are going to go out to protest and all that. But, you know, by 70% margins or so, the public is united. Israel, however, is dealing with increasing pressure campaigns from the Muslim world, from Europe and all these countries that answer to them, and from the Biden administration. But initially, Israel thought, you know, we're going to do whatever the Biden administration says. They're going to give us their support and we're going to move forward with this. You know, they want us to, not use tanks here. They want us to target more specifically there. We can try to work with that. This was unfortunately a mistake. It was an inevitable mistake. I warned this was a mistake, because the bottom line is support is always a ticking clock. There was a point at which the support was going to go away, and that point was the end of the year. This point, the Biden administration is doing everything possible to level pressure on Israel, and the reality is it's actually making things worse. So the Biden administration refused the veto a UN resolution calling for an end to Israeli attacks on Hamas. As a result, Hamas is pulled out of the hostage negotiations yet again. The reality is this entire idea that if you apply more pressure on Israel, you would get some kind of agreement, where it works just the opposite, because the terrorists are the ones who never actually want to come to any kind of agreement. So when the Biden administration applies pressure on Israel, just like the Clinton and the Obama administrations, what happens next is that the whole negotiations blow up, and conflict then becomes absolutely the only way forward.
Daniel Greenfield is our guest again, frontpagemag.com, and the David Horowitz Freedom Center. He's an author there and prolific writer and communicator on this. How does it play out for America politically? I think Joe Biden is hurting himself, but I'm not sure he ever had what I would call not just conservative Jewish voters, but sort of, right and center right voters, Jewish voters. That wasn't who he relied on for his coalition to get elected. But is he going to pay a political cost?
Well, he was already underwater among New York Jewish voters. Now, that's not going to make that much of a difference because of the demographics in New York. He lost Florida Jewish voters, and that actually is a swing state. In 2020. So I think he's going to lose them by an even higher margin. And while the Biden administration is focusing very much on Hamas supporters in Dearborn, Michigan, and assuming that they are the ones who count on winning them over is important. There are Jewish voters in those swing states. They are watching what's going on, and they're seeing the betrayal and the sellout. How they'll react is hard to say. Some of them are liberal. Some of them are more conservative. But the demographics in the Jewish world are also shifting toward a more religious, more traditional, more conservative voter. So this is certainly not going to help him the way that he thinks it is. He's trying to play both sides. And you know what? At some point, you have to decide good or evil, right or wrong.
Right. Daniel Greenfield, last question. I had one of my listeners email me and say, when you get these really smart guys on, ask them where they go to read what's going on in the world. Where do you go to read about what's happening, let's say, in Israel and that you trust what they're saying? Or do you go to places and say, you know, they're going to be spinning you this direction, but you want to see what they're spinning? Your thoughts?
You absolutely have to read between the lines when dealing with the media. That's what I always do. You know, sometimes when they're defending something, you know that there's a problem. Likewise, when they're very vocal about pushing a particular agenda, you know that marching orders have gone forward. I just did, for example, an analysis of the Biden administration's investigation of former President Trump, which started as soon as the Attorney General Garland was confirmed. But I did it by reading between the lines of the various leaks that are coming out of the Justice Department. You really cannot trust anything out there these days, whether it's the media, whether it's not the media. You have to think for yourself, analyze for yourself, ask questions.
Well, and read Daniel Greenfield and frontpagemag.com. Hey, thank you for taking the time. Thank you for being a voice out there and taking a lot of flack sometimes and attention other times and communicating. We're grateful in the tradition of David Horowitz and his work. So thanks very much, Daniel.
Thank you.
All right, we'll take a break, everybody. Be right back. I'll put some links up to Daniel's writings, his essays, also his book. And we'll take a break and be right back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Back in a moment. Welcome back. Ed Martin here on a Pro America Report. Time to check in with our old friend, Colonel John Mills, retired Army Colonel. Of course, he is the author of two books, The Nation Will Follow, firsthand experiences fighting the deep state. A very important book, I have to say. I know the second book, War Against the Deep State, which I wrote a foreword to, I enjoy too. But that first one, John, The Nation Will Follow, especially as you illustrated the local impact and how don't get caught up in thinking about the next presidential race only, but instead find out ways to impact things, and, you know, where you are. So welcome back, Colonel John Mills, retired Army Colonel. How are you, sir?
Oh, Ed, thank you so much. Just an absolute honor to be on your show again.
Well, so let me, you know, when you see where we are, I had someone say in my open today, I was talking about the fact that we can't be blind anymore. Now, you weren't blind. You were writing about it at the time. But a lot of us were saying, man, something doesn't seem right. And then somehow in the last maybe 2.5-3 years, the scales really fell off. It wasn't just fake news that was, destructive, CNN or somebody being fake news. It was that the government was using the censorship industrial complex was dominating us in this country. Right. I mean, it's and so that's good. We've got our eyes open. But are we able to stop it?
Well, the initial argument presentation, I don't know if this is the only part a hearing we'll have, but so when Missouri v. Biden, now known as for some reason Murphy versus Missouri, has been heard. It really some, you know, when I'm kind of citing Matt Taibbi here, you know, who's been a real pioneer in this area of pointing out government censorship. He didn't feel it went well. I listened to parts of it. I don't feel it went well, but at the same time, Alito was very clear the power of the federal government calling somebody in for a White House meeting. And I've done that. I've been part of that with big tech. And just by the mere fact you're somebody at the White House, and you're called, yeah, that represents the full force effect and also the implication. If you don't agree with the government, the government can come after you. But I mean, I think Alito brought that up. Now, the quote of the whole session was, of course, Justice Brown, Jackson Brown, who said, she used the term hamstringing, which I thought was an inappropriate term for the year 2024. I guess it's okay to use it, but she felt the government was being hamstrung by any of this. And it's like, hold on a second here. The Constitution is to hamstrung or string the government. We can't have an unconstrained government in any way, shape, or form. That's the whole purpose of the boundaries of the Constitution. It's not to constrain the citizen. It's to hamstring the government. It's to show the government boundaries. And so that was concerning that she doesn't understand that concept. And again, there's nothing wrong with government meeting with big tech, absolutely, or meeting with any group. But there's a difference between meeting and then essentially intimidating or cooperating. It's essentially RICO in reverse, where you have a racketeering, where there's a collusion between government and big tech to silence, target, and censor citizens. That's not correct. That's absolutely verboten and wrong. But so it remains to be seen. I don't know if there's a second set of arguments or that was it. That only 90. I believe the fate of the republic is going to only depend on 90 minutes. Some didn't feel it went well, but at the same time, can't believe that government would. Now, part of it was they said government can't collude, government can't direct. Government can meet. Okay, yeah, government can meet. I don't have any problem with that, but that it can rapidly turn into collusion and unlawful behavior. That's the big concern.
We're talking again with John Mills and his book, War Against the Deep State. He's a retired Army colonel. In the book, you talk about these, constitutional actions, or you call them, branches of the government out beyond the original ones. And I guess my question back to you again is, I see what you see, but then I say to myself, are we a majority? Do the people that are seeing what we see, are we a majority? In other words, if the power of the deep state, for lack of a better phrase, or the narrative machine, as I call it, is so strong. I just wonder sometimes if we're sort of whistling past the graveyard.
Well, I hope not. I think we're challenged to get, and you being a lawyer, understand, it's the whole concept of achieving remedy. And I think part of the argument in front of the Supreme Court was interesting because they said, well, who's the harmed or aggrieved party? None of these plaintiffs are actually aggrieved parties. And I'm going, well, I'm jumping up and down, waving my hand. How about me? I've been thrown off of Twitter. I've been, my professional career abilities have been greatly and monetarily affected. If they need somebody who's an injured party, hey, I'm definitely me. And it's a lot more than just me. So that was, I think the challenge is the citizenry readily able to achieve remedy. We have to figure out a better way than massive court battles that are just the deep pockets of big tech. Right. It falls into their favor. I mean, the common citizen, we have to have a better way for the common citizen to achieve remedy. And whether it's me or the J6ers, the J6ers who have had exculpatory evidence essentially denied use of the films, all of these things, we have to have a better ability to achieve remedy by the average citizen other than monumental, humongous, expensive court battles.
Yeah, it's well, and again, back to your first book, and we're talking with Colonel John Mills, The Nation Will Follow. A lot of the work, especially uncovering what's happened, happens at the local level, and you can do it sort of hand to hand. That's the phrase, nonviolent, of course, but hand to hand to be able to get to the bottom of what's going on. How have you How does social media impact your call to local action, John? And by that, I mean, it feels like everybody can feel, let me say it cleaner. Everybody can feel engaged from their very phone, right? But that's different than actually doing something.
That's an important point. Social media allows us to communicate, allows us to develop ideas, but still that doesn't necessarily represent action. It does represent a better way to communicate, share, ally, things like that. But in the end, it's still action on the ground level, right where the person lives. And that means there's no getting around it. You have to be a voice heard in these seven key governance functions common to all of our counties, towns, or cities. And that's the county council, the school board, the registrar, the election board, sheriffs, judges, and prosecutors. That's where the action has to take place, and citizens have to figure out a way to be heard. I mean, it's been painful in Fulton County, Georgia, but part of it was, I mean, there was many people to credit, but Fulton County prosecutor, Fannie Willis. I mean, it took a while to get that out there. Part of it was social media, and that helped. But it really took a number of people to point out, hey, this person was a weaponized tool of the Biden team, even though she was a county prosecutor.
Right.
That's helped immensely. But we still got Pennsylvania. We still got Michigan. We still got Arizona. And we got to deal with these issues.
John Mills, we're out of time. What's the best website for people? Send them to. Again, the two books are The War Against the Deep State. That's the newer book, and as well as The Nation Will Follow. Where do you send people to find out more and get connected with you?
Yeah, Colonel Rhett John, Colonel R-E-T John, Substack, Getter, and Truth. And the book, okay. If you want signed copies, go to Lindell My Store. You get a nice bundle package, or just go to Amazon.
Great. All right. Thank you. Colonel John Mills, retired Army colonel. His two books, I'll put links up on social media. We'll take a break. Be right back. Ed Martin here on the Pro America Report. Back in a moment.
This is the Phyllis Schlafly Report, a daily broadcast from Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, a national volunteer organization founded by Phyllis Schlafly and continuing to uphold her legacy by opposing radical feminism and representing a traditional conservative perspective in our nation's capital. And now, from the archives of Phyllis Schlafly Eagles, here is Phyllis Schlafly.
You would think that the government has enough to do trying to stop the spread and sale of illegal drugs and overage drinking of alcohol. But no, the Food and Drug Administration must have time on its hands because it waged an aggressive battle against milk and has just won a fight against the creamy white stuff that most of us think is pretty healthy. The FDA won a two-year battle to shut down an Amish farmer named Daniel Allgaier, who was selling fresh, raw, unpasteurized milk to eager customers in Washington, D.C. The FDA claims that unpasteurized milk is unsafe, and it was exercising its authority to stop sales of Allgaier's milk across state lines. The milk battle came to a climax after a full investigation, complete with a 5 a.m. surprise inspection and a straw purchase sting operation against Mr. Allgaier's Rainbow Acres farm. Some of Allgaier's customers have been buying his fresh milk for 6 years, and they accuse the government of interfering with their parental rights to feed their children. I'm particularly interested in this case because I brought up all my 6 children drinking raw, fresh milk. Every Saturday, I would drive to a farm about an hour away from my home in Alton, Illinois, and buy 12 gallons of raw milk and 12 dozen fertile eggs. That lasted our family for a week until the following Saturday. Nobody ever got sick. People asked me why I preferred raw milk, and my answer was, it is delicious. The taste difference between raw milk and pasteurized milk is just about as great as the difference between fresh fruit and canned fruit. I hope the government busybodies apologize to Mr. Allgaier and return to the important and necessary tasks that the government ought to be doing.
This has been the Phyllis Schlafly Report from Phyllis Schlafly Eagles. In 2016, the conservative movement lost one of our strongest leaders, but Mrs. Schlafly's work and her voice continue through this radio program, our work in Washington, and the influence you have in your own community. Be part of that legacy at phyllisschlafly.com. We encourage you to bookmark phyllisschlafly.com and join us again for the Phyllis Schlafly Report.
Hey, welcome back to the Pro America Report. This is Ryan Height checking in here to wrap up the show, bring us home. I think that you are going to want to hear this next segment, so let's dive into it. Before we do, though, before we go any further, let me remind you, go to ProAmericaReport.com. That is where you will find all of the Ed Martin Substack awesomeness, all the things that he is writing about, typically following along with the What You Need to Know here. And, of course, also go to PhyllisSchlafly.com. That is where you will find the archives of the Pro America Report. That is where you will find all of the links and resources, the podcast, the standalone segments, and, of course, the all-important sign-up for the Wink email that will come to you every single weekday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Central, and all the other time zones concurrently. Go and sign up there, phyllisschlafly.com. Also, sign up for Ed's Substack, ProAmericaReport.com. Don't miss out on the goodies. There are lots and lots of goodies, and you don't ever want to miss them. We've got a lot here on the show. But one of the goodies that I have to tell you is not so good. In fact, it's pretty disturbing, and it's something that I want to make a quick comment on, because there's a lot that's going on. You may have seen, and let me bring this up, break it down, and then give you, I think, really kind of a mini what you need to know, just the bottom line of this. So we're all hearing about the squatters' rights epidemic that is sweeping the nation. There are story after story after story, and I'm going to put this down here. There's a great article from Chronicles Magazine by Pedro Gonzalez. He's talking about this. It's called Nation of Squatters. And in this, he is explaining what's happening. There are state laws on the books all over the place that do allow for an incredible just a transfer of property, the ability for someone to come in and just claim property as themselves. And then, you know, a property owner suddenly finds themselves in a bind of being able to get rid of someone who lives on their land or in their property that they own. They have a deed that it doesn't matter. This is happening all over the place, and it's incredible. I think this squatting is on the rise. I love one of the lines that that Mr. Gonzalez uses in this article. He talks about how this is a particularly enraging form of anarcho-tyranny, and that's exactly what it is. I mean, this is tyranny. It's also anarchy. It's incredible. Property and homeowners are finding themselves with greater legal handcuffs on them than the people who are thieves, people who are robbing others of their property rights. Thieves are being allowed to get away with squatting and with staying and all kinds of stuff and legal protections that the actual property owners aren't getting. Now, there's a lot to go into. This is starting to pop up all across the country. Some of it turns deadly and dangerous, particularly one story I'm reminded of out of Manhattan, where someone found their mother who had a unit that had been vacant. She went to go and clean it and prepare it, I think, for some family friends coming in town. They didn't hear from her. They went and found her dead in the closet. She had been killed by these two people who were staying there, squatters, in her apartment, and they stashed her remains and took off in her Lexus, and the police didn't catch them until they crashed the Lexus later. This is on a scale between frustrating, outrageous, and tragic, deadly, how it is turning out for Americans. And I tell you what, the little mini what you need to know in here, property rights are fundamental to America. I mean, this is, you cannot remove property rights and still have the United States of America as we know. It's just not possible. It's the same thing we talk about, and this is these two issues kind of converge. We can't have a nation without a border. That is part of being a sovereign nation. So to have a porous, a blatantly open border where illegal immigrants just come across and are released into the interior on the hope and promise that they come back for some future court date, it's patently ridiculous. That is not how a nation behaves. In fact, it's not a nation anymore once you're doing that. Well, once you're giving squatters more rights than the actual property, than the homeowners, when squatters can get away with whatever they want to do, essentially, and know that they're going to be protected by the law, what kind of law is that? That's not the American justice system. That's not the American private property system. That is not the American constitutional way. That's not how this works. And these two things are converging. You might have seen the story, a TikTok influencer who was teaching illegal immigrants how to seize unoccupied American property in this way. Now, that guy was actually just arrested last week. But still, this is absolutely incredible. I know that Ron DeSantis just signed a law eliminating so-called squatters' rights in Florida, enhancing penalties. But this is, we have got to address this across the entire nation, because this shouldn't, I mean, it just, it's common sense. Why do we even, you might want to ask, why do we even have to pass legislation like this in the first place? This is incredible. And this is complicity from the political class that is allowing this to happen, from places that are allowing this to happen. I mean, private property is one of the single most fundamental things that is integral to American freedom. You know, we have freedom of speech. We have freedom of religion. We have the Second Amendment, all these different things we talk about. But guess what? All of them can be boiled down into this one thing, that the life, liberty, and property. These are three primary principles that must be defended in America: the right to life, the right to liberty, and the right to property. This is a big deal. This is an incredible deal. And this rash of squatters taking over has tons of people in lots of places, like Atlanta. I saw big stories out of Atlanta. It is so out of control that people are afraid to go on vacation. Are you kidding me? Is this America anymore or not? I mean, this can't happen. The legal system cannot be allowed to tip this far in favor of Vikings and pillagers. I'm sorry, I'm not trying to slander our Scandinavian brethren. You know what I mean, though. These people are literally plundering and pillaging private property. It must stop. This is purely un-American and cannot be allowed. It is fundamentally antithetical to the life, liberty, and property guarantees in the United States of America. So that is what's underneath this story. You need to know about it. We need to keep an eye on it. We need to be doing something about it and pushing our own legislators and state executives to address this in our states. That's all. That's the wrap up for today. Thank you for being here. Thanks for letting me guest host. I look forward to being back tomorrow on the Pro America Report. Don't forget, go to proamericareport.com, phyllisschlafly.com. Thank you to all of you, to Mason, my co-producer this week, and we will see you back here tomorrow on another edition of the Pro America Report.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.